16, 270, 270.
We sing our praise, and hear thy heavenly voice.
Turn with me to the first book of Peter. Peter chapter 1. Peter chapter 1. I have the first five verses on my heart, but I want to read verse 5 first. Verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, in connection to what was brought before us. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We've been just exalted of looking and be reminded of our heavenly characters and what is to come. Even in the hymn that we sang, and shall we see thy face? We have something very special that this world doesn't have. We have hope. We have a place. We have a person that we can look forward to. When we look at difficulties around us, sometimes we have to define what they are. We come to this campground here. It's a beautiful setup, isn't it? I was thinking, if you will walk around this campground, I'm sure it's big enough that you're going to find some problems here, even though they seem to have spent a lot of time, money, and effort to make this nice. Now, I know you boys probably explore this campground more than we have. How many of you noticed something is broken? Did you see anything like that? Or not working? Did you? No? Yes? How many of you saw this broken something and come back and say, can I borrow some tools so I can fix this? Oh, you're smiling. It's very different. Why? It's not your place. It's not your job, is it, to fix what's broken in here? Now, I know you boys well, or some of you anyway. How many times you walk around your house and you notice something was broken? And I have no doubt that you run inside and tell mom and dad, saying, Mom, Dad, this is broken. Where are the tools? I want to fix it because it's my house too. There's a difference, isn't it, of where our home truly is. The Word of God said, where your treasure is, there your hearts may be also. Where are your treasures? Maybe as the little one, the treasures are in the pockets, right? I noticed some of the boys have stuff all over the pockets. I don't know about girls. I don't know them well enough. Boys have all sorts of treasures in the pockets. I carry some stuff. Here's a spinner. When you want to pay more attention, they said they call this fidget spinner, so you spin while you listen. Some of you doodle so you can listen better. But we have treasures that we value, and where the treasure is, that's where your heart is, isn't it? That put us in a dilemma. God placed us here, but yet our home is there. We've been reminded time and over again this weekend, haven't we, that we are heavenly citizens. Dilemma, as the Apostle Paul said, he was caught between the two, whether he should be absent in body or present with the Lord. Some of us would look at it and say, well, should I be making the best use of this world? There are so many things to fix. I know I can better it. Or do we look at what's heavenly character that we should display? So I thought of this as our brother exalted us of the heavenly scene to remind us. Now, not to contradict, but I thought to myself, I need to look at and bring myself back down to right here. The book of Peter is interesting. You'll find Peter, they call this the general epistle. There's not a lot of church truth in it, if at all. It was very general, and I felt that it was written for me. because if it's any more complicated, I won't understand it. So the simpler it is, the more it stays in our heart, doesn't it? So I thought, let's look at the first five verses. Now, if you look at the structure of this book, or this chapter, the first five verses really is just an introduction, his greeting. And we often, in our greeting, is very, very superficial, isn't it? It's like, you know full well if someone asks how you are, you don't feel free to tell them truly how you feel because they don't want to hear. Have you ever tried that? If someone say, how are you? And you start listing all the aches and pains and the problems you have. And let's see how quickly that person disappears from you because they really don't know. They don't want to know how you are. But Peter is different. He lists things in his greetings to encourage us. Let's read the first five verses. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Five verses. But did you notice how many big words are included in these five verses? Well, it begins with Peter. He introduced himself as the apostle, the follower of Jesus Christ. But the first thought he introduced here is strangers. Scattered. That's not a very good greeting, is it? Not sure if you ever felt like a stranger at certain places. What are strangers? People don't know you. Not only that, I believe if you feel like you're a stranger, you don't belong there, do you? Peter later on introduced the thought for us that not only are we strangers, we're pilgrims and strangers to this world. So, do we feel that? Do we feel welcome in this world? If you do, that may not be the right character that the Word of God wants us to be. That means we're going with the world, because when you present Christ, you will find opposition. The only way is to be agreeable with this world is to conform to the world, which is not according to the Word of God. Recently, someone wanted to use our office facility for something, and they said they wanted to do some yoga to begin the business meeting. I go, oh, no. Yoga, to me, is very satanic, and it's not my thought here to go into it. You can look into that. He called me intolerant to religions. Do you think I feel like a stranger to this group of people? This world wants you to be part of it. When you stand up for Christ, you will be called names: intolerant, prejudice, many other words. The Word of God is plain. We're to stand. We're to hold fast what we have just because the world changed the standard of how they view things. we, as redeemed one, are strangers here. We're not part of this. We're not here to fix this campground. We're not here to fix this world. Now, I know the apostle is addressing to the strangers more so here in regard to the lost tribes that are scattered. They were not lost. They just don't know where they are. When we say lost, it doesn't mean they disappeared. They just don't know. They're scattered. Now, Jonathan's here. I hope he doesn't mind me. I used to use that example when he was little. We think he used to get lost in the department store. Why? We can't find him. He wasn't lost. He was happy in the toys department. To us, he was lost. So think of it that way. They are lost. But they were among them just outside Jerusalem in these various places, and they were considered strangers, and they were also scattered. They didn't just go out and go to one place. And it's interesting when you follow the word of God, scattered. This is not the first time men were scattered. You'll find when we disobey the word of God, we are scattered. What happened to Adam and Eve? They were scattered. They were cut off. They were sent away from the garden. What happened to the first man born into this world? He was scattered. He was a murderer. He was scattered among the nations afterwards. What happened to man after the flood? Judgment was executed at the flood. Eight souls were saved. What happened to the descendant when new government was allowed for them to form? Men were scattered because every thought and imagination of man was evil continually. They were scattered. What happened to the children of Israel when they disobeyed? They were scattered. The church, as far as testimony-wise, what happened to the church testimony in this world? Scattered, isn't it? Dispersed. And it's interesting, I read this. Some would say, well, the church testimony as a whole is scattered, but some of us are so privileged that the truth was recovered. And if you're so proud of that, with all the humbleness, we find that even those remnant, few, who cling on to the word of God, we find that even among the small remnant, we are scattered. Keep that in mind, brethren, young people. When we are scattered, often it's because disobedient to the word of God. So he tells them the position they're in, and then he encouraged them, verse 2, elect. Oh, here's another wonderful word, isn't it? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through another big word, sanctification. So you have election, you have foreknowledge, you have sanctification of the Spirit. Because here is unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been elected. In Romans, it tells us that we are to be predestinated to the image of his Son. Isn't it wonderful? We talk about glory to come. Well, in the eternal glory past, we have been predestinated to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Predestination in Scripture often is in association to sonship. Predestination, I believe, simply means marked out. We were marked out. Election was chosen before the foundation of the world. We were chosen. The Lord marked us out to be his. And I believe if it's all up to us, no one would be saved. So he has to go a step further. He marked us out, chose us before the foundation of the world. I remember an older brother tried to help me explain this. This was a difficult thought for me. He said, think of this walled city with one gate. On the outside, this gate said, whosoever will. That means anybody can come in. but most didn't or wouldn't. Once you come inside, you can turn around and look at the entrance again. The sign is different looking from the inside. It says, elect. Oh, isn't it wonderful that God hath chose us, whether we like it or not. Remember Lot? How did he get out away from that fiery judgment? The angels took his hand, his wife, his daughters, as if it was they were dragged out, even though they didn't want to. Oh, God in mercy did that to us, and he elected us through the sanctification of the Spirit, and it's through the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So because of that, it says, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. I need to move on with time. Verse 3, we have, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking more toward the end of the verse. Another wonderful thought. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, we have a hope that is living, is real. It's not just something that we say, well, you know, I hope it'll happen tomorrow, and then it doesn't happen. Well, this is lively. This is real. We have a hope because our Lord Jesus, not only did he die for us, he rose from the dead. We spent some time on that just a couple of hours ago, didn't we? About the important, not only death, but resurrection. Scripture is full of the picture of resurrection. It's not by accident that resurrection is mentioned. Did you know that the ark, Noah's ark, it said, you can look it up, it said it rested on the resurrection day. No, I didn't quite say that. You have to look at it carefully. It said it rested on the 17th day of the first month. Well, if you go through scripture, you'll find that the 17th day of the first month is the day for that feast of the first fruit. That's the resurrection scene. Was that by chance? No, you'll find throughout scripture, resurrection is mentioned many times. Verse 4, I'm looking at my time here. To an inheritance. You have an inheritance from God. Inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It won't fade away. It is reserved for you in heaven. I just heard this story recently, and this is real from one of my clients. We're talking about how a family member of theirs had an inheritance. The grandfather bought a lot of savings bonds, saved it for his grandchildren, and he was smart enough that he hid it inside water pipes in the basement so nobody knows where it is, and nobody can steal it. He thought it was so good. On the will, it told them where to get it. So when they find the proper water pipe, took out the paper, to the surprise, it was so old, the paper rotted. I said, well, that's okay. These are savings bonds. If you have the serial numbers, that's all you need. Just take the serial number in, and you should be able to reclaim that. And they laughed. They said, even the serial number crumbled. So much about their earthly inheritance. Today, some people are smarter than that. They buy silver and gold. From our standard, silver and gold do not tarnish. We find from the word of God is that it too would corrupt. Anything that's of man will corrupt. But here you have an inheritance that won't fade away. It's reserved for you in heaven. What better? What is better than what God has told us about the inheritance that you have? Like that savings bond in the water pipe. He thought it was guarded. It was guarded safely, no one knows, but yet it wasn't protected. verse 5. It tells us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time. Oh, we are being kept by the power of God. Isn't it wonderful that the apostle here can give us this encouragement, encouraging words in five short verses to encourage us, remind us of the election we have in place, remind us that grace be given unto us because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be reminded we have God as our Father. We have Jesus as our Savior, the one who loved us and the one who gave himself for us. And as if it's not enough, we know that we have the Spirit indwelled in us, guiding us. What more resource do we need? And here, it encourages on. Now, it's not my thought to go on further. Peter goes on to explain that it's not going to be easy in this world. The following part of the chapter speaks of the trial of faith. And the following chapters speaks of various trials to bring glory out for God. So in this world, we're told, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. We have won. He is greater than he that is in this world. And there is no one else that can overcome. But in the meantime, we know that the suffering is to come first before the glory to follow. But we have that blessed hope, as we were reminded, reserved for us in heavenly places on high.
Hymn 318. Third verse says, soon shall our eyes behold thee with rapture face to face, and resting there in glory, we'll sing thy power and grace, thy beauty, Lord, and glory, the wonders of thy love, shall be the endless story of all thy saints above. 318.
Thank you.
Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not your thanks and make even mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all heaven, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Our loving God and Father, we thank you for this afternoon and the liberty we have in having our precious Son of God, the Son brought before us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer to all of our heart's woes, our soul's needs, the riches of eternity, the glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we might learn now, even young, to be taken up with thy holy person, Lord Jesus, that we might be saved not only in for eternity, but in the day to come, in the day that we live in now. We commit ourselves to thee in thy precious and holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.